Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga, Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Choi, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing pretty good today. Thanks for asking. And we want to thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Today on the Voice of Yoga, we will discuss the choice every human being gets to make regarding their identity. Will I live my life secularly or spiritually? In this show, we will be discussing the major differences between living humanly as opposed to being spirit. Listen and learn why the human says, show and I will trust, and God says, trust and I will show. Becoming spiritual requires an acceptance of the principle of life. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance, get the light in your soul, and live out from spirit. So, Swami, I thought I would open up the show with, out of the Bible, we are admonished, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, which I take to mean not looking upon man or neighbors as being mortal, material, finite, sick, well, rich or poor, to do that is to bear false witness against them. And what we want to do is recognize them as fellow divine spiritual beings.
Yeah, I find the whole thing to be somewhat paradoxical in that as humans, we have options and we can live out of different levels of consciousness, different degrees of awareness. And as a human, you have the capacity to be of an animal nature, to be of a human nature, or to be of a divine nature. What's interesting is that when an individual has attained that level of divine nature, from that perspective, they no longer make any kind of judgment. One of the reasons for that is that when you have achieved your divine nature, you are no longer under the law of opposites. You no longer have a belief in two powers. And that means that you have risen above this karmic cycle, this cycle of death and rebirth. And it's very important that until we have achieved that, that we want to really try and uphold the image of that to the best of our ability. Because whatever it is that we hold in our consciousness is what it is that we are going to manifest or experience. And so that ninth commandment is really valuable, and especially when you apply it practically, in that by me seeing somebody in their divine nature will actually help them see themselves in that divine nature. So on a positive level, I mean, it's really helpful in improving the collective consciousness in general.
At that explanation that you just gave us, is that what you mean by us making choices regarding our identity and that's based on what we desire?
Exactly. That's what the whole like attracts like is all about. That because reality is multidimensional and there are different levels of consciousness for the human and we have these options, when you want to break it down and you want to understand it, when you understand the principle of manifestation, how things come into form, and you start to apply it, that in order for something to manifest, it has to split off from the unified state, manifest in half and leave behind a complementary unmanifested other part. To understand yourself from that that framework is very helpful, because if we are attracted to anything that has separated from unity, then we are in or under the law of karma, because we are in what's called duality. And duality comes with it a belief in two powers. And the other thing is that wholeness can never take place in these dimensions of reality. So when we are attracted to particles, then we are of a low animal nature. And that will play out that we will be primarily sensual, that our whole reality will be based on the testimony of our senses, based on our observation of information that comes in through the lower mind. Now, if we are attracted to thought, and thought is the complementary unmanifested other part. In Kriya Yoga, we call it the astral plane. And in quantum physics, they call it the realm of energy. But if we are attracted to that dualistic dimension, then we will be of a human nature. And with that will come all of the pros and cons that come with being a human, but for the most part, it is going to be an ongoing struggle between good and evil, right and wrong, light and dark, and that's just the law of karma at work. But if we are attracted to the void or the nothing or this unified state, the absolute, then we will be of a divine nature. And when you are of a divine nature, that is when you rise above duality and the belief in two powers and the dynamics that come with that. And now you have a belief in the one. And in that realm, in that spiritual realm, and that spiritual consciousness that you will achieve as a result of this accomplishment, there are benefits that come with that, because now you're not dealing with good and evil. You're not dealing with two powers, an ongoing conflict. Here you're dealing with the law of harmony, the law of absolute goodness. And even the concept and the terms have very different meaning, because you're dealing with wholeness, not with being in half or fragmented consciousness.
Well, I'm anxious to find out the meanings behind the statement that we have in the summary where learn why the human says, show and I will trust, and what God says, trust and I will show. Can you give us some examples of that?
Yeah, usually the human lives out of the testimony of the senses. So our reality is really based on what is visible and tangible. And that has been something that I think I have lived out of my entire life, is basically listening to what people say and watching what they do and establishing my sense of trust based on those observations. But when you are coming from a spiritual sense of identity, which now is impersonal and it is rooted in the perfection of being, and you're dealing now not with the testimony of the senses, not what appears before you, but you're dealing with the invisible force, the invisible, intangible supply, the creative principle of life that does not report in your senses. And when we have belief and we have trust in that, that is when you open yourself up to the availability of accepting your divine identity.
I've been reading in Joel Goldsmith's The Infinite Way Letters of 1956, and it seems to be some instruction here that I wanted to ask you about. And he says that God is eternal and that we need to lift our concept of God of our own identity, of prayer and the impotence of evil. When we have done that, then we are living and moving and having our being in God. And I thought that was very interesting, that lifting our concept of God and our own identity.
Now, I think the major thing that you want to understand about what you just said about living, moving, and having your identity in God really requires that you would have had to have separated from your identity with anything visible, tangible, or invisible and tangible to be able to demonstrate that on an experiential level. And that's where this whole thing of whatever it is that we are attracted to, because there are a lot of people who can talk spirituality. And I like what Joel actually says when he says many people declare the Christ, but they live out from the world. And in order to actualize and demonstrate the perfection of being, the individual must be totally established in their identity on a spiritual side, which means that you have to give off your personal sense of self entirely. And it's not as easy as it may sound when you're explaining it. And that's where I think sometimes the practices that are recommended in yoga, sometimes I think, have a little bit more tangibility because you're employing purification. You're employing skillful use of thought, skillful use of breath, skillful use of water, skillful use of food, skillful use of exercise, that you're working with yourself on all of these different levels, but your goal really is consciousness and to have your consciousness completely governed by the presence and the power of divine law is what we're talking about here. That's, I want to say, the ultimate human experience.
So I think it really comes down to the fact that if we want to achieve this communion with God, it really is our responsibility to try to get that and try to attain that relationship with our divinity.
Right. And the key is that you want to desire it. That desire is an important variable in this because desire is what gives everything power. And when you look at the instruction that came from Jesus, when Jesus said, you must love the Lord thy God with your heart, your soul, and your mind, that's really powerful. But to be able to do that without all of the secondary disturbances that we all have with all of our unnecessary dependencies that we have internalized and conditioned ourselves to live out from. And so these are important variables, I think, when you're plugging in to get it on an experiential level. I really think the Buddha said the same thing when he said you must desire nothing. And of course, this isn't the absence of things, but it is the presence of the void or the nothing, which is the absolute, the unified state. To desire that is very different than to live out from the world and have all of our worldly unnecessary dependencies in place. And then we think that we can seek God from that. And that's where it doesn't work. Because you can't be totally committed some of the time. And you can't serve two masters. So that's what we were saying in the opening. This whole thing that we have to make a choice. That you can't be material and spiritual. You can't be material, mental, and spiritual. You can be material and mental because they're both dualistic. But to be spiritual, you have to be totally committed to your spirituality. And that's where this whole thing of desiring this invisible, intangible source comes into place.
Well, I think that's probably a good place to pause to hear a word from our sponsors. So listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments.
to Kriya Yoga Theory 1, Human Development and the 8 Essential Stages of Kriya Yoga. This program is a comprehensive course that will help you get your arms around the science of Kriya Yoga. It provides a clear understanding of the goals and objectives behind yoga, along with the physics of spirituality. It includes the practices, supportive concepts of Kriya Yoga, and the process in human development, apotheosis, the process of the human becoming divine, a complete guide on how to become a human in the adult state. Get the light in your soul and experience the simplicity and joy of union with the divine. This course is available in live classes at the ashram or online with 8 videos or 4 CDs. Visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com, for more information. Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So, Swami, I want to get back to the title of the show, where it's like attracts like, accept your divine image. So my question to you is, yes, I want to accept my divine image. So what is my divine image, and how do I go about accepting my divine image?
Well, I would say that accepting your divine nature or your divine image means that you have to start by knowing yourself in the image and likeness of the divine. And you have to remember the first thing to understand the concept of spirit is that spirit is invisible, it's intangible, it's complete, it's whole, and it's perfect. That's a tough order for a lot of us to try and identify with that. But as we talked about last week, this whole thing of when we make up our mind that we're going to live out of the perfection of being, that it is going to have a huge impact on our experience in life. This concept of how we think is what we become starts to prove out when you can think with God, as opposed to trying figuring everything out with human rules and regulations, which really isn't doing much for us individually or collectively. This living with a belief in two powers and this belief in sickness, sin, suffering, and death isn't really doing much for humanity or civilization in general. But to start to assume and accept the simple fact that there is this part of all of us, that we are an eternal spiritual being, and then to start to align and attune yourself to that is what we basically do with the practice of Kriya Yoga. That the goal of yoga is total consciousness, but it begins with the union of the individual with the divine and accepting your divine nature, which is that part of you that is absolute goodness, absolute peace, love, happiness. And to start to live out from that is where I think you would want to begin.
I was just reading this passage by Joel Goldsmith, and he says, each one who receives some measure of spiritual light must let that light shine in his own life, in his household, in his community. No one has the right to avoid this, and in the end, no one will have the ability to avoid it. Just as the lighthouse is for the benefit of the ships that pass by, so are you the light of the world, that those not yet aware of their true identity may be lighted on their way. And I thought that was a really nice thing to read, so that we know that as any of us that can lift our consciousness, therefore it kind of sets the example that other people can do the same thing, and then we can raise the consciousness globally.
Yeah, and you want to start locally. That's what we were talking about, this whole thing of separating from our attachment to fear and limitation, duality, and joining with truth and wholeness. And one of the first things that you find with this whole inner dynamic that once you have the benefit of internal support, that you're no longer drawing off of the outside world. You no longer have expectations from people, places, or things, that you are in a position of giving out, because that is the dynamic of spirit. Spirit is uninterrupted, continuous, eternal life. And it is constantly pouring out all of this goodness. And so in order for us to be able to start to attune ourselves with that, we have to start to be on that giving side of understanding of ourselves, that it's actually in giving out that we start to get, because what we're putting out is what we're getting back. But in order to really start to live out from the perfection of being, you have to make this internal connection, and then the direction of your energy flow is always outward. That's what I think Joel's talking about, this thing of being the light of the world, that you're putting out all of this positive imagery. And this is not the same as positive thinking, because you're living out from a consciousness that is rooted in the law and principle of harmony, love, and life.
That saying, or in from the Bible, where it says, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." So how do we go about when we actually practice that? Because we know now that we should be looking at our neighbor as not just loving them as our neighbor, but looking them as them in their own spiritual identity. So how can we practice doing that with people that we meet, people that we see in the grocery store, in the checkout, things like that? You know, should we mentally look at them and then say, "I know you are a spiritual being made from the image and the likeness of the divine"?
Yeah, the first thing that starts to happen is you move away from the testimony of your senses. So whatever is appearing before you is not truth. That's a false sense of existence, basically, because it's dualistic. It's an approximation. It's not the whole picture. And even when it's showing goodness, it is human goodness, which is not the same as divine good, which is whole and it's complete. Anything human is always going to be a mix of good and evil. And in yoga, we call that namaste. It's recognizing the divine. So you're looking past the testimony of your senses. You move from the information that is in your lower mind, and you start to see through your third eye, which is the single part understanding, that you're looking from the higher mind, which interprets everything from the absolute. So you're seeing things in its entire picture. And from there, you start to see the source of everything. Everything that is before you is the presence of this one truth, this divine image. And as you start to live out from that and you start to trust it, then what starts to happen is it will actually start to change your experiences. That all of the sin and all of the dishonesty and all of the crime and all of that will actually start, you're changing your perspective of seeing things from a spiritual perspective will have a direct effect on what you're perceiving. It will change people's behavior.
So us realizing that God is our true identity, and as we come to that realization all day, every day, this is where we can start making some changes within ourselves and with others around us.
Right. And one of the things I think that's really helpful when you make up your mind that you want to do this, in the Bible, in John 14:14, if ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. If we are to communicate with the divine, we must be in the image and likeness of the divine. See, that's the like attracts like. We can only be known in the way that we are known by the Creator as spirit. And so, again, moving away from the visible and the tangible and the invisible but tangible, and starting to understand yourself and live out from this invisible, intangible source is where Scripture is taking us. And like it says, or I like what C.S. Lewis said, this whole thing of aim for heaven, earth gets thrown in. Aim for earth, you get neither. That once you have accepted your divine likeness, once you have accepted your divine identity, then the benefits that start to come with that, because this concept of God recognizes you. And that is how it opens the channel. The like attracts like. And all of the things that we understand God to be are now available to us because we are in that name. We are asking in that name. We are in that likeness. We have achieved that consciousness that makes the kingdom available to us.
And so is it at that point where we can cease praying for divine intervention, you know, or for things, which we know we should be avoiding that anyway, but because when we're at a certain point, you don't need or want for anything.
Right, because once you identify with yourself spiritually, you have achieved fulfillment. That's the difference between your lower natures, your animal and your human nature, which is constantly trying to seek this satisfaction. And you can't get it because you're drawing from a dimension of reality that is in half. Once you have started to use your relationship with the presence of the divine as your symbol for validation, you immediately achieve fulfillment. There's no longer any more searching for anything. And it is the only thing that really produces true satisfaction.
So Swami, I've heard you say before that on the spirit level, we are all one. Can you take us through what that means?
Yeah, on a spirit level, everything is one. There's only one God, there's only one truth, there's only one yoga, there's only one number one need. The whole key here is to identify with it. What is it that we are attracted to? And it's important that when you start to apply the theory, especially to your self-understanding, for mortality sees mortality. The finite begets the finite. And the eternal gets the eternal. So this whole thing of what we desire is such an important part in determining our nature. When we acknowledge our spiritual selfhood, the thing that happens is this like attracts like. For then we see and we are attracted to the same identity in everyone we meet. So we are seeing our own true identity everywhere, and we recognize it, and then it speaks to us. Again, like attracts like. This opens us up to the understanding, the whole idea of divine egoism, for everything is simply the one admiring itself.
All right, great. Well, I think it's about that time. We need to start closing down our program for today. So listeners, I would like to remind you to visit our website at www.ipdtransform.com. Once you're there, You could roam around the website. There are some great tools there for your continued learning experiences. Be sure to tune in next week. We'll have another great show for you. And don't forget, Wednesday nights at 5 o'clock, please be available to listen to our Facebook Live episode. So, Swami, do you have any other final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage everybody to see what it is that they're attracted to and what it is that they're bringing into their lives. And with that, I will wish everybody a good day. Namaste.
And thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.